Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Lasse, and I play bass in Slutface.
And I'm Haley, and I'm the lead singer.
I'm Thor, I'm the guitar player.
I'm Halvard, and I play drums.
And we even pronounced the name right. So we now know how to do a slash through a zero to change it to a U, or change it from a U. See, I got rid of that. We're done now. We've just covered the name of the band. Is there anything before we get into the main stuff that you feel you haven't covered there, that people haven't asked about 20 billion times?
We're not 21 Pilots ripoffs. Mm-hmm. That's an important thing to say.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not called 21 Pilots. It's 21 Pilots. And we're a Slutface. And that's a right way to use an
Yeah.
So that's important.
Yeah. To explain, the O with a slash through it is a Norwegian letter, and it's called an Ø. And it is not pronounced the same way that an O is. So our is not your O. This is our campaign right now.
So we got 2012. We've got high school. It's West Norway. You're gonna. The name of the town is
Stavanger.
Yeah. See, easy for you. But I've got stuff you can't pronounce. So there. Since 11 years old, and we did the name change.
I was just thinking that I don't think enough people know about the Tropical House remix of Kill 'Em With Kindness. So, like, Norway's new claim to fame is Tropical House with this, especially this artist called Kygo. There is a remix on SoundCloud of our song Kill 'Em With Kindness in the Tropical House fashion because we like to keep up with the times. And I think more people should know about that.
So we said we're not going to talk about influences, but polka, black metal, all of these things that people came from in this lovely van we're sitting in. And then you say, okay, we come from all these disparate places and we're going to form a band. So I've led you into the story. Now you're going to tell me the story.
Well, we played in a lot of different genres before we started.
I mean, you put polka and black metal together and you've got black polka.
Well, I guess we just listen to like a lot of different music, all of us.
People always assume that like if you're like a pop punk band, then the only thing you listen to must be pop punk. But I think that wouldn't make a very interesting band, probably.
I had a 7-string V guitar before, so that's like crazy to think about now, though. But I played a lot on that weird ass guitar.
And I guess like. It's kind of weird to me when people play in like pop punk bands and then they start a new project. Like maybe like Green Day, when I started like this band Network or The Network, and it's like pop punk still. I'm kind of like, well, it could have been Green Day. So I guess like this is just how I think everybody in the band has a clear idea of how far we could, like where we are now and how far we could take it, but we couldn't take it out of that like context. We couldn't like start doing, we do weird stuff, but we couldn't start playing polka or metal. Yeah. Though we have some like 10% metal and 10%, no polka actually. It's actually minus 10% polka. So it's interesting just to see how like we kind of just understand where to take the band and stay within like the pop rock stuff.
We're not there by any means, but to us, the sign of a really good artist that's like a long-lasting artist is somebody that can reinvent themselves over and over again.
Based on things you believe in the first place.
Yeah, but we try to kind of, it's pretty basic. We just try to play things we like, and we try not to be too strict on ourselves about what's like fits for our sound or whatever.
Right now I'm trying to lobby in Bossa Nova into the band, but... It's not going too well.
The United States is like, okay, there's LA. I know that. I moved out here from New York in 1989, right? So we've got the West Coast, the East Coast, and the Midwest. But all that I've read and heard is you're from the West Coast. And then I'll add a little bit, and West Coast is punk and hardcore. Okay, so we've got those lovely little facts. That's what we know. Can you fill in some blanks here to help us out here? Because this is not like you're the Eagles and you're in Los Angeles, or you're the Ramones and you came from New York. You know, so tell me what the West Coast of Norway really means in terms of the non-sound that you're trying to be.
So the west coast of Norway is kind of also the only coast, which also slips through the cracks a little bit. But like the way that you guys have specific genres for like New York or LA doesn't really apply in the same way to where we come from because it's a really small country. But we did grow up with our main influences being like hard rock bands and hardcore and obviously a lot of metal because that's what Norway is famous for. But like pop music in Norway is a lot more synth-based and kind of like icy, I think you could say. It's like that whole very Scandinavian pop thing that Norway's also been kind of pushed into. So I think we decided that we're more influenced by sort of the metal scene in our hometown, but like in Norway in general. And that's kind of what ties us to specifically the West Coast is because that those genres are really strong there.
But you've added pop to the mix. See, I did it in the full announcer voice. You've added pop to the mix.
Yeah, we listen to a lot of like catchy music and we think it kind of, because we have the feminist message, right? And we kind of want to...
Look at this. Okay.
Yeah, so we kind of want to slip the message into like catchy music. So we use like the catchy tunes to kind of like
sneaky bastard.
Yeah. And me, for example, listen to like more like chill music than I listen to the music we're playing, kind of. So we're and I listen to a lot of pop too. So it's like we're always making songs that are like connected to the music we're listening to. So we have like periods of time where we write these types of songs and then these types of songs depending on what we like collectively listen to.
At the top of everybody's lungs, would you all scream the word feminism just so we get that out of our systems? Ready? One, two, three.
Feminism!
Okay, so we got that. Feminism, yes, but equality. Isn't there like a kind of a road above feminism that you're really trying to talk about or not?
Firstly, we really don't have any problems with the word and we're happy to use it. Like a lot of times people that interview us apologize for like bringing up feminism as if that's like a bad thing. But to us, those like feminism and equality are completely interlinked and they can't really be split apart. So, and I think that like for us, we've grown up in a time where feminism isn't a dirty word, in a country where feminism isn't a dirty word, and where, like, it's, yeah, to people it means equality, so, yeah.
Historically, it means equality. It's like, that's what I learned in school, because I did all these philosophy lessons, and it's like, we just learned about feminism, and that was equality, that was like kind of equality history, right? So to use feminism as a word is like completely natural to us because it's the same as equality. But many people, it's like, yeah, but what about equal rights? That's not the same as feminism. But yeah, but historically, it's the same thing.
Here, particularly in America, you know, it is very much about women in the workplace and how much they're getting paid versus men and all of that. But if you're going with the concept of feminism as an overarching concept, sounds like a university lesson, then it's not just about equality for women.
Like, if you can look at Jaden Smith as an example, a young boy who's dressing up in dresses and not pants and being a model and like inspiring boys to dress how they want, that's feminism as well.
Because for us, it's about the freedom to choose for all genders, which is a very modern interpretation of feminism. But we think it's really important to use the word because it draws roots from the women's lib movement. And it's really important to respect the heritage and to focus on the fact that in some instances we have more work to do for women's rights than other.
I don't know. I'm not an expert or anything, but like apathy has come to a point where people don't write on Facebook. They just don't know about stuff or care about stuff. Many people.
You don't even get that far.
You even don't get to the Facebook post, right? And people who get to the Facebook post, that's a good thing because you know that's not apathy. That's at least something. But like as in the Sponge State video where people protested at this mountain in Førde in like mid north of Norway, they received fines for about like $1,500 every day, and these were like kids, or what was the youngest, 15 years 15 old?
15 years old. So yeah, and they did it like they got jailed, and then they get bailed, and then they did it over again and over again and over again in 3 weeks. So, and that's, yeah, they're just real heroes.
And for us, like, we do think that apathy is a problem, or like, yeah, that like social media protests aren't necessarily going to change anything. But we do think that social media is a really important tool to actually do things in real life. Like, if you use social media as a way to meet people that you can then go meet in real life and like talk to face to face, then we think that's an amazing tool that can, you know, like connect people all over the world. But you do have to take that extra step of actually doing things after you've talked about doing things. And we do think that not enough focus is given to the people that are actually affecting change. So that's why we wanted to showcase these, you know, kids and friends of ours that are out there actually doing real things in the real world, because it does happen. So you can't just make the argument that like everybody between 15 and 30, all millennials, are completely apathetic and they don't know how to affect change, because it does happen, but we just need to give them more attention than the people, like all the people that already agree with you.
Just about social media, like I see the point that you can't really change anything like now, but social media, I think, as a strong tool to just affect the people are thinking, like the new generation, for like the future leaders, the future people who are going to sit with power. I think it's going to be a strong tool.
Take me dancing. Because it's call and response. And call and response is a pretty mature thing, because, you know, in the 60s, all the soul records were call and response. Someone would do a song about a woman, and then a guy would do a response to it, and then the woman would do a response. And they'd all have hits because they were responding to other people's things.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like the whole start of our band has been trying to practice how to cut away anything that you don't really need, and to like condense things into, you know, like more immediate songs, because that takes practice, and you can't just, well, we at least couldn't just do that immediately. We needed to really practice that. But yeah, so the song Take Me Dancing, the lyrics were kind of first written. I'm not like I don't have any kind of encyclopedic knowledge about Big Star, but I really love the song 13, and always thought that it was just an amazing song, but that it kind of portrays women as being like very passive, and that, because in my mind it's always him like singing this song to a girl, but I always felt that like her voice wasn't really heard in the song, and that it portrayed women as kind of passive. So I wanted to write like the more active response to that, where, yeah, obviously we like to put female voices into the characters that men usually play in like indie music. So yeah, that was kind of the start of that project.
Sonic Death Monkey. So here's Sonic Death Monkey in a song called Empire Records. But do you know where Sonic Death Monkey was featured?
Well, I used it from the High Fidelity reference.
Okay, good. Good, 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 good. I figured as much. But it's fascinating because you've got it in a song called Empire Records, which was another movie about a record store that Ed Wood and Collins had the whole theme in. What's really kind of fun is that I'm listening to your songs and I'm like, ooh, this goes a little deeper. This is kind of fun because it gives me something to do other than just listen to the admittedly, you know, great song craft. So when you think about this stuff and you kind of throw that in, you know it was a reference to High Fidelity, but you put in a song called Empire Records.
Yeah, because that song is like kind of the dream scenario of a record store that we've probably never will experience, because we don't really even buy records necessarily anymore.
Right, right.
But like that sort of ideal of...
It's the fantasy.
Yeah, the fantasy of working in a record store and working and hanging out with people that are all really interested in music is what that song is about. So it's a combination of my two favorite movies / books about working in record stores. So High Fidelity and Empire Records. So yeah.
Well, I can't speak on behalf of Haley's lyrics, but obviously I'm a fan of her lyrics. But there's like, in the reference to Sonic Death Monkey, the movie... when he Jack Black kind of announces that his band name is Sonic Death Monkey, I think the response is like, you can't come to the show and play this in front of my friends, because they're like lawyers and doctors and stuff. And that was kind of our starting point as well, because it was like, you can't go to a show and call yourself Slutface and play in front of people. It was kind of like, we did it, but it's like, I was really worried about my parents' opinions and my friends' opinions, because they were like, what's going on with this? What is this? Why Slutface? Or why rock? Why even rock? Why even punk music, right?
It's a good sounding record. And you know, when you're talking punk, you know, young band, how did you get to this producer? How did he discover you?
It was our record label actually that found him and introduced him for us. But yeah, it's true what you're saying, that it takes a lot of time to make punk music. It doesn't just are made in a garage in like a day or something. We used a lot of different tricks, and we really like tried to it's like we kind of overthink all of the elements that are in the record, but in a good way. I think that we like all of the different things, we like go over them again and again and again, and like see if we can do something differently, and see if we can like for example on the full length album we do like use instruments like a cello and trumpets and piano.
Oh my god, a horn section and keys? What are you doing? This is a punk. You're a punk band. You guys are out of your minds.
Yeah, you need to hear it. You need to hear it. And we also got like, we bought like a Teenage Engineering kind of space synth as well, or Lessa did at least, and used that. It's like, I guess, it's just like, I think I can speak for everyone, would say like our perception of punk is not about being gritty or being in a garage.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to pick anything you want to play in between. We have to fill about 40 minutes.